fast-growing youth population, Africa boasts enormous market potential. In a time of unprecedented innovation and new technologies on the horizon, the Onyx Africa podcast serves as a platform to spark and engage in conversations aimed at achieving the African Renaissance.
Welcome to the Onyx Africa podcast. Today we're joined by Ebunoluwa Grace Edema, the founder of Totes and Goodies. Look forward to the conversation. I'm just going to allow her to quickly introduce herself and just tell us a little about her background and, yeah, where she's from.
Okay, good afternoon, Mash. It's great to have to be here on your platform to talk about my journey so far. I'm excited. Totes and Goodies was what I started as a student. I was a student of agricultural
economics. Okay, first, could you please just introduce yourself, like who you are, where you're from?
Okay.
Yeah. We'll go into that, like, just in a bit. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, my name is Ebunoluwa Grace Edema. I'm a Nigerian. I'm a fashion entrepreneur. I make bags. I'm also a business developer. Like, I help businesses with, you know, strategy, finance, advisory, all of that. Yeah.
Cool. And then a little on your background, what did you study? Where did you study? Where are you based in Nigeria? Yeah.
Okay, I studied agricultural economics at Federal University of Technology, Akure, in Ondo State, Nigeria. And I'm currently in Abuja. I came to Abuja for NYSC. It's a one-year kind of compulsory internship for graduates. And I got a job in Abuja, so that's why I'm staying back in Abuja, the capital of Nigeria, to work.
Okay, cool. So you featured also, like, on the pilot episode that I had, like, before I started the podcast. And
yeah,
when I did that, like, you, what you specifically spoke on was the Africa Free Trade Area, Free Trade Agreement. That was going on, or that was like a big conversation at the time. Do you have any thoughts on that, the progress thus far? Do you think it's been beneficial? Do you think it's any of the benefits have been noticeable so far? And what are your thoughts? Because it's just something you outlined like 6 months ago. So we're 6 months in. Yeah.
As at that time, I was working in a public sector, so I was, you know, involved in the process. Well, not really involved. I was witnessing, let me say, firsthand, the process of, you know, bringing the implementation to life. And my hopes were high. I also learned about it, let me say, some months before that. So I was really looking forward to how I could key into it, even as a business owner myself. From then till now, first, I'm no more in the public sector. I work in the private sector now. And I've not been able to key into it as a business owner. It's not an initiative that has been able to, you know, come down to the grassroots fully yet. And that grassroots is where I am right now, as well as a lot of other business owners in Nigeria that should benefit from the program. So I'm still looking at the development of the initiative, like over the next 1 year, part of a community that helps business owners to export. And yeah, I'm still hopeful, but I've not been able to benefit from that initiative yet.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So totes and goodies. So the first time like you spoke about, I don't know if you remember this conversation, but like around, I think it was 2019, if not 20, I think it's 2019, you texted me and you were asking me about like what makes Joburg so great, or some, or what makes cities in South Africa so great, Joburg, Cape Town. But like the questions were like so specific on like the greatness. And at the time, like that you texted me, I was traveling and I was like on the train and I was like going past Alex in like in Sandton, and because I was traveling to, I think it was around the festives, so we had vacation with friends, so I was traveling and you texted me, you said something like that, so I was like the reality was in my face, like when you said something like that, and you were speaking on like, hey, I'm trying to incorporate this into some art and stuff like that. And then at that moment I was like, I think it's wrong that the perception of, say, South Africa that people have is like, hey, these cities are great and stuff, because like the labor is essentially from the locations and the people there are in the gutters and stuff like that. So I just brought up that perspective. And like, that's essentially how I found out about, like, when the conversation continued about totes and goodies, you're like, oh no, the reason I'm asking is because I want to create these bags and I want them to be inspired by different cities. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. Very much.
Yeah, so yeah, so it was nice to like just like think about that being the genesis, where it was just an idea like that was very tacit, that was not even like, that was maybe just on paper but nothing essentially, and where you're at now. So yeah, like you coming onto the platform was super intentional, and it's mainly because I was just very excited by just the journey from when you is like first asked me about cities in South Africa to where you are now and some of the stuff you've done. So yeah, just to like start it all off, could you please just take me through totes and goodies and what inspired it?
All right. Okay, so like I was saying earlier on, totes and goodies was something that I started as a student. As at that time, I was a student of agricultural economics. Agricultural economics was not something that I wanted to enroll for. I wanted to study food science and technology, but because I did not do a subject in my entrance exam, I did maths instead of physics. So I was told to, you know, change my course to agricultural economics. So everybody just said, okay, it's a very lucrative course. You'd eventually like it. You find it useful. You can work anywhere. But I was not yet into the course. But along the way, I found out that, you know, I was very creative, you know, with writing, with marketing and content creation. So I wanted to put all of that to a good cause. And I've always loved fashion. So it's only made sense that, you know, that would be my outlet to express my creativity. So I founded, I sat down, you know, did my research, looked through brands that I loved, thought of what I could do, that I could start with the little money that I had. At that time, I was doing an internship. So there's this internship we do in my university in our fourth year, a 6-month internship. So I was in Lagos. And that was when I, you know, paid for a logo, and brought all my ideas together, went to buy some materials, put a six-pack collection together, and I just launched the brand like that. And since then, the brand has morphed a lot. So at that time, I was a student. I needed to put, I needed an outlet to express myself. So the brand then, Thoughts and Goodies then was, a brand that allows you to, express yourself, your style, your creativity. The catch was you send me a message. We look at your personal style and look at the bag, the style of bag that fits you, and then I'll create that for you. And then that was August 2018. In December 2018, I went for a volunteer program in Ghana. That was my first time going out of Nigeria. And then getting outside my country and experiencing, my kind of people, because I was still in Africa, and then seeing people with a whole different culture. I mean, every Nigerian feel like, okay, a Ghanaian is their brother or their sister, we are basically the same thing. Our cultures are, similar. Our food is probably similar, or you just know their food from watching movies and stuff, or they eat pankwa and all of that. But, being in their space, and seeing, experiencing the cultural life, it just hits me that, there are a lot of things that I don't know about these people, even though it looks like, we're sharing borders, or they're our brothers and sisters. Their stories, they are still their own stories. They are not stories that I can tell for them, because we are both Africans. So I've just... It was that trip that gave me the realization, or was kind of a turning point for me. And I was like, I think if there's anything I want to do with my brand, I would like to tell African stories, but not just as an outsider or as a fellow African that has not even experienced it. I would like Africans to tell their own stories. Like, people tell the stories of their countrymen, people in a locality tell the stories of their locality, not, somebody coming outside and generalizing, not an outsider coming and generalizing and saying, okay, this is what Africa is. I mean, Africa is a continent of 54 countries, and, even within those countries, there are different stories as related to, different people. So that trip just made me realize that I wanted it to take a different direction with my brand. And after that trip in December, I went back to school. So I was a student and I went back to my final year. That was after my internship. The trip was just after my internship. And then after the trip, I resumed my final year. So on my final year, I could not, do a lot of work that's as related to my brand, because my parents insisted that I focus on my studies. And everything I had to do was low-key. I graduated in 2019 and, had time to work on my brand. So I graduated December 2019. So I think I sent you that message around February of 2020, around that period, because I felt like, okay, I finally have the time to, get into, commit time and resources to the brand and, bring the results that I want. So basically, I wanted to tell African stories, but by Africans themselves. I wanted people from different nations to, talk about the reality of staying in their city. We just know that, okay, Nigeria is this, or South Africa, the best place you can go to is Cape Town, Johannesburg is an IT city. That's just a general perception. So even sending you that message and you clarifying on the reality of the place, I was like, yo, this is what I'm looking for. This is why, okay, if I cannot even travel because COVID hits again and a lot of my travel plans were put on hold till like October that year. And even when I could travel, it had to be within the country. So from my previous travels, I already had a network of youths internationally, and also from working with a volunteering with an NGO, an international NGO. I already had a network of youths from different African countries. So I'm like, if I can send messages to these people and they can tell their stories, I'll be able to, you know, represent their nations in, like, with my art, represent their countries in a more realistic way, in a better light. So yeah, that was what that was.
Interesting. And then, like, a lot of what comes across on your social media is sustainability. Was that influenced by like doing agriculture? Are you just really interested like in sustainability as a theme, and that in turn influences how you approach your art? Like how's that? Like even I think you mentioned something around your brand being like these tote bags being like multifunctional for work, and they could also be used for leisure, and that also being like some form of like an attribute that speaks to them being sustainable.
Okay, so as a student of agricultural economics, the whole idea of sustainable farming and sustainable agriculture was learned. That was, you know, where we first of all learned about, you know, sustainability. And even the project I went to do in Ghana, volunteer on in Ghana, was about, you know, sustainable farming. But even that aside, coming into the fashion industry, like I said, I had to do like a lot of research before launching my brand. The first collection I did, one of the bags was supposedly leather. And I got just a few samples because I needed to like test out the product first. And by the fourth month, the print on the leather was already falling off, like from use, and it was not durable. It became waste. So doing research about the fashion industry, I saw the waste that the fashion industry was generating. I saw, you know, all of these statistics, and I'm looking at myself, a fashion entrepreneur. Even though I'm still on a small scale, do I want to contribute to this waste? Putting out bags that cannot last, you know, beyond the summer, spring collection season. Bags that cannot even, you know, be durable enough to use like every day for 4 months. And it was from that first collection that I had to, you know, sit back and say, okay, subsequently, I'm only going to engage in sustainable practices. And sustainability is a very wide term. It's just looking at the actions that you take as a brand and seeing that you are not, you know, jeopardizing the environment, your personnel, and you are engaging in ethical practices. Not, doing just anything to make profit. So it was from that I figured that if I'm not going to contribute to the waste that already is, I need to create one bags that are durable. The way I saw them, they should be able to carry enough weight that the bag can contain. So even in the sewing, that is factored in that they should be functional enough, not just pretty bags or bags that are customized with your name or, your favorite fashion icon, and they can't even do the work of the tote itself. So I needed it to be functional. Then the fact that, okay, depending on how you style it, you should be able to carry it to work. You should be able to carry it to church. You should be able to carry it, to the park. You should be able to carry it grocery shopping. Then they should be washable, or at least you should be able to clean it with a wet cloth so that you can reuse it. Because if you cannot reuse it, it's just another polythene bag. If it's going to be leather with some fancy, shiny, shimmering print, and by the time you clean it, or by the time you run it in the machine or wash it by hand, the design has already faded or fallen off, then it's just another polythene bag and it's just another waste for the environment. Then, in subsequent, because this was not something that I studied in school, so it meant that every time I needed to, take courses, I needed to do research and read up and follow people that are into sustainable fashion and update the knowledge I have about the industry. So from the first collection where I made sure that, okay, my bags will be functional, my bags will be reusable. They are not going to be just one fancy, product that you buy for one event and then after the event you can't use them again. Subsequently, I figured that there are materials that are even sustainable for the environment, and there are materials that are not sustainable for the environment. So the whole issue of whether this is fox leather, vegan leather, or the one that is going to peel off by the time you leave it in your closet for, let's say, 2 weeks without carrying it. I don't know so much about leather yet. It's something that I still intend to study about. But materials that are available to me that I can vouch for their eco-friendliness, those are the materials that I get to use now. I use jute, I use cotton, I use linen. Also, there is this challenge with being a fashion entrepreneur, well, in Nigeria, because that's the one I know about that I can speak for now, is that a lot of the products that you see in the open markets, which is where a lot of fashion designers source their products from, they don't come with description of whether this is, 20% polyethylene material or 80% cotton or this. So by the time you even ask the local sellers, they just give you the name that they know it as in the market. They cannot tell you what exactly is the content of the material. So even if you want to be a sustainable designer now, your options are very limited because if you are not big enough to produce your own fabric by yourself, which is a whole different level of expansion and so on, you have to be careful in selecting fabrics from the market. Then there is also these fabrics that are referred to as dead stock. These are fabrics that, were discontinued. Maybe a popular designer requested for, let's say, 300 yards, and then they produced 312, and they only needed 300. Those 12 yards, they send them to the open market. Nobody wants to buy them because they cannot ensure the continuity of that fabric. It is a remainder on its own. So they call it dead stock. Those fabrics, sometimes individuals buy them and use them, you know, to sew outfits. Sometimes those fabrics are just like 2 yards in the market. Sometimes they're just like, they're not in large quantity. So you cannot guarantee that they will be restocked. You cannot guarantee that, okay, if we create a bag in this print or if we create a cloth in this print, we'll be able to, you cannot guarantee their availability. And most times, most people don't want to buy it. So fabric like that sometimes goes to waste. They throw them in the dump sites because manufacturers don't want to buy fabrics that they cannot ensure will be available. For example, if they use that fabric to produce a sample, and that sample, the picture of that sample goes viral, let's say on a popular influencer or model or something, and people begin to request for it, they cannot find it again. So most people don't use that kind of material. Those kind of material, I buy them. I let my customers know that this is limited. And those that shop on my platform, they know that these materials might be limited. These designs might be limited. If you like them, you buy them while they are available. It's not the fast fashion house where you say, I want, you know, 20 of these, or I like this print, I need you to reproduce it for me or something. If it is sold out, it is most probably sold out because you most likely will not find it in the market again. So that is another way that we practice sustainability, like with the brand. But ultimately, the goal is to reduce waste. Right now, we are just on the arm of sustainability where we are not adding to the waste that is already available. But ultimately, we are looking at reducing waste, converting waste into fashion, you know, accessories, reducing the waste in the environment already. For example, there is a bag that I introduced, was it 2 months ago? That we replaced plastic buttons with coconut shell buttons. Now, everybody eats coconuts every day in the market, and then the shell is disposed. That is like waste. It's disposed as waste. But there is an organization in Ibadan that I got to buy these coconut shell buttons from. So what they do is they work with local traders. They collect this coconut shell that they regard as waste. And then they sort it, they file it, they trim them into buttons. So it's basically like wooden buttons. You can paint them, you can have them just like that with the old coconut feel. And they are great. So I saw that is another part that we are trying to, you know, incorporate now, working with brands that are already doing great at this, you know, sustainability thing, and seeing how we can integrate their practices or their already finished products, recycled products, into our brand. So moving forward, that is one aspect of sustainability that we like to explore more, you know, recycling waste into finished products that, you know, can have a lifespan of its own again. Earlier on in the brand, there was also a time where we use, you know, thrifted jean, denim. We cut them down, we use them to form, we sew, like piece them together again to sew, like different types of tote bags.
Interesting. And have you like thought of any other things besides, like, even when you begin with the process of using waste to create products, Are you thinking specifically of just bags, or do you want to diversify like the product catalog?
Okay, so right now I'm just making tote bags, and they are not even the only kind of bags there are. So I'm working on a collaboration right now. I wouldn't want to give like so much details, but we are also looking at making different types of carrier bags, like, you know, the backpacks, the handbags, the ones that, you know, would not look like a tote bag typically, you know, fanny pack, even in the luggage section. Tote bag is just a very, 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 very tiny bit. So I think I would like to explore that whole luggage bags and luggage session first before I go into clothing. If I'm going to go into clothing, that would be a different brand on its own. And I think I would like to go to like a fashion school so that I can get enough knowledge. You know, clothing is a whole different ballgame entirely.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't like to start that on research and vibes. So yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, that's true. You wouldn't want to not be intentional, you know, because the yeah. people that are within the industry wouldn't appreciate it. You know, you don't want you don't wanna appropriate. So what would you say are like some of like your growth prospects in general, like just with the business? Do you currently ship internationally? Do you have plans of shipping internationally?
Yeah, currently I ship to a number of countries, USA, UK, Ghana, Benin Republic, or Poland, but that was before the Ukraine war. And yeah, just like 10 countries, Spain.
Okay, that's...
Those are the countries that's you know, like... I've taken orders from and I shipped to.
Damn, that's...
But like I said, I'm looking to tap into this AFCFTA, you know, initiative. And I would like that when I tap into it, I have products that speak to those countries. For example, if I have a bag that already has, you know, an art piece with, you know, the City of Gold, with the explanation that you speak to me, it would be easier for me to say, okay, I want to stock in stores in South Africa, because it will not just be a grocery bag that, you know, they're in need of. It would be something that has an identity that they can relate to. And that alone is enough marketing than pushing my products with, you know, Nigerian origin to other African countries.
Cool. And then what's been like your experience with, I think you use Flutterwave as a payment gateway. Correct me if I'm wrong, but what's your experience been with them as a payment gateway? Because payments is like such an integral part of any business, especially small businesses.
It has made my work easier, actually, because before I started using Flutterwave, to receive payment from outside, like international payments, it was a hassle. Even though I already have a domiciliary account, like a dollar account, every day there's a central bank policy, there's a new policy that either restricts payments or says there'll be this amount of charge on payment. So I don't know, I just could not keep up with it. And then I can't even remember who suggested Flutterwave. And yeah, they handle the whole payment stuff now. So I just sent the link to my customers. They pay with their card, select the currency they want to pay in, and then Flutterwave credits me in my own, what are they calling it, local currency. Or if they pay with the foreign currency, they can. Anyway, I want to do it. Either I want the money to be remitted into my dollar account or my Naira account. So I just meet that aspect, receiving payments, especially international payments, easier for me. So I don't have to worry about the exchange rate or the process of converting the money or even receiving the money to start with. So yeah, that's been good.
Cool. And then how can people reach out to you just to like end it all off? Like, how can someone that's interested in finding out more about your bags, or they're interested in buying, or they're interested in reaching out to maybe contribute in like the conversation and tell you more about their city, how do they go about reaching out?
Yeah, thank you. That is very important to me because conversations are very key to me. I don't hesitate to have conversations. So if you have any input, if you have, let's say, a platform you want to introduce me to or collaboration, you can just feel free to reach out to me. I love having conversations. It doesn't matter whether or not we get to the implementation stage, but we never know if we don't even talk about these things. So I'm very active on Instagram. My Instagram handle is Ebun Edema, EBUNEDEMA, Ebun Edema. And if you want to buy tote bags, you can send also on Instagram a DM to TotesXGoodies. It's together. So Totes, TOTES, then letter X, then Goodies, GOODIES.
Cool. Any last remarks? Anything you'd like to say to the Onyx Africa community, to the youth in Africa?
Thank you very much, Mash, for having me on your platform. I really appreciate it. For those listening, I would like to say that I'm still figuring out this whole entrepreneurial journey of mine. So yeah, I appreciate your comments, any advice or, you know, resource you have for me. I'm very open to it. Like you already know by now, I'm not a master of the skill yet, but I'm open to learn. And I think that is the most important thing that I've learned, like being on the journey, that I keep learning things every day, either about finance, either about personal management, or, you know, even the process itself or the fashion industry. I just keep learning things every day, and that's been like one of the upsides for me in my entrepreneurial journey. So to fashion entrepreneurs or even other entrepreneurs in Africa, keep pushing, keep thriving. The story matters. And yeah, that's it.
Cool. Now, thank you very much for taking up your time to have this conversation. I genuinely appreciate it. And I look forward to like witnessing you grow and having you on the platform, having a different conversation about totally different things, because you're gonna be at a totally different place.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, thank you very much, and look forward to the next time we have you and all the progress.
Yeah, thank you.
Cool.
What is the African Renaissance to me? The Renaissance is not a dream. It is indeed imminent.